The most familiar Christmas hymn and the most popular Christmas hymn, I guess, would have to be Silent Night and Holy Night. There is not a Christmas season that goes by that you don't hear this song probably 10 or 15 or 20 times. It's one that people never tire of singing. It's one that has come down for many, many years and lived as still a very popular hymn of the church. Probably every Christian has heard this song, and practically every non-Christian knows a little bit about Silent Night and Holy Night. Let me give you some of the background to the origin of this hymn. It comes out of the country of Austria. There was a 26-year-old Catholic priest who had a small country church in Oberndorf. Living in the town of Oberndorf was a school teacher who was also the organist at the church. His name was Franz Gruber. Then also, there was a popular singing group that was touring Europe at this time, known as the Strasser Sisters. They went around singing mountain folk music. It was these three groups that brought forth the Christmas song, Silent Night and Holy Night. Here's how it all came about. It was the week before Christmas in 1818. There was a group of wandering actors who had stopped off in Oberndorf to give a play that was based on the birth of Jesus. They had planned to hold the play in the church accompanied by organ music, supplied, of course, by the church organist. But the organ was broken. It would not play, and so the actors, therefore, gave the play in somebody's home. Now, the priest went to the play, and because of the sincerity of the actors and the play he beheld, his heart was very touched, and he that night strolled out into the foothills of the Alps. In his mind, while strolling, came the lines of a poem. He hurried home, which was about midnight, and he put down the poem on paper. The next morning, he went to the home of his organist, Franz Gruber, and gave him the poem as a Christmas present and suggested that he try to put it to music. Christmas Eve night came. The church people met in the church, but still the organ was broken, and the parts were scattered all over the floor. Franz Gruber, the organist, brought a guitar, and he sang the tune he had made for the poem that had been written by the priest. Now, the organ mechanic happened to be at the service. He was so touched by the music and the words that he memorized them both while listening to them. He went back to his hometown and looked up the Strasser Sisters, known to him, and they added this song to their list of folk music that they placed in their concert tours. There it became very popular and spread, of course, across the nation. Now that's the story behind Silent Night, Holy Night. Now in the first verse, there is expression, round yon virgin, or here, let me read it to you, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, I want to preach on that now. Secondly, holy infant, so tender and mild, I want to preach on that. Then sleep in heavenly peace, you know that. Then the third stanza, silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pretty light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, I want to preach on that. Now, there are three things in this song, Silent Night, Holy Night, that I want to draw our attention to in the time that we have left this morning. In the first place, if you really want to go by the Bible name, her name was not Mary. Her name was Miriam. Miriam is the Hebrew name. Mary is the Greek name. So if you called her Mary, she would not respond to that. But if you called her Miriam, she would respond to that, because Miriam was really the Hebrew name. Now, our first look in the Bible, when we come to Joseph and Mary, causes confusion to a lot of people. And sad to say, there are a lot of people that don't believe the story. Let me go on record. I, for one, do believe the Bible account of the birth of Jesus. I have no reason not to believe it. None whatsoever. I stand on the conviction that it's right 100%, irregardless of what medical science says is possible or impossible. I could care less. I believe the Bible account of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ to a woman called Mary or Miriam is absolutely, without a doubt, true. That's where I stand. But the story, seemingly, by many people, is confusing because of the way it reads. Now, in Luke, or in Matthew 1, 18 and 19, here's the way the Bible reads. Now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise, or took place this way. Mary was espoused to Joseph. And before they had ever come together, she was found to be with child. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was minded to put her away privately. Now the confusion is, how can Joseph be her husband at the same time she is espoused or engaged to Joseph? Well, we think in terms of American culture when we try to interpret the Bible, and this oftentimes gets us in trouble. Joseph and Mary were not Americans. They were Hebrews. Now, when a Hebrew girl was espoused or engaged to a boy, it meant a lot more than it does in our society when somebody says, I'm engaged to so-and-so. For a girl that was a Hebrew, when she was engaged, she was already considered to be the property of her husband-to-be. To the extent she was already called his wife, and he was already called her husband. Even though the wedding had yet not taken place, and there would be a wedding, they were still referred to as husband and wife even in the engaged state. If the bridegroom died before the wedding could ever take place, the engaged girl was called a widow. Now, if the bridegroom did not want to marry the girl, he didn't just simply tell her, I break off this marriage, engagement. I don't want you anymore. He had to actually give her a written bill of divorce. So you see, there was a little bit difference in the way that they carried out their matrimonial system and the way we do. So Mary was truly engaged to Joseph. They had not yet had the marriage ceremony. They had never yet lived together. But at the same time, Joseph considered Mary his wife and Mary considered Joseph her husband. It was just, that's the way you looked at it. At the same time, the Bible makes it clear that Mary was a virgin. She says she had not yet been married to Joseph. The wedding had not yet taken place. And as we read on, she says she never knew Joseph in a relationship of marriage. Now, the question of the virgin birth, to me, is not much of a question. There's not much to discuss. I don't find it impossible. I don't see why it offends anyone. To me, you either believe this, or the whole Christmas story goes down the drain. Either you believe that Christ was virgin-born, or we ought to sweep the whole story under the rug and try to hide it because it becomes one of the most scandalous, disgraceful stories that could ever be written. I mean, it's a soap opera kind of story if you do not make the virgin birth a truth. It's a scandal. Rather than something blessed we ought to sing about and celebrate in the Christian church. Now, we're told very little about Joseph. But we are told that he was a just man or a devout man. In Matthew 1:20, while Joseph thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord said unto him in a dream, Joseph, fear not, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. 19, Joseph was a just man. Now, before Joseph was told by the angel how Mary became with child, he decided it would be best for him to put Mary away. Now, that doesn't mean kill her, but the Jewish law was clear on this. If a woman was taken in adultery and Joseph said, it's not my child, that means it would have to be an adulterous child. And the law was, if a woman is taken in adultery, she was to be stoned. Well, the Romans frowned on anybody taking the life but them, and that's why the cross was used by the Romans to kill people. That was their form of punishment. And they didn't allow the Jews to go around killing people. The Jews sometimes did it behind the Romans' back. They stoned Stephen without the Romans' consent. But anyway, there was a danger that Mary could have been stoned, but more than that, she would at least have been definitely criticized and blackened, and her reputation would have been ruined. And so Joseph decided he'd just put her away privately, not make a big issue out of it. While he thought about this, that's when the angel came to him and told him that there was not anything wrong with Mary, that she was a virgin, and the child that she was going to have was not man-made, but that it was God-made. Now, in Matthew 1, 18 and 19, the Bible clearly says they had not yet come together. They had not yet experienced the marriage relationship. Now, the Bible says that. Either the Bible's right or it's not right. And I say it's right. Now, Joseph believed the angel that what was said to him in that dream was true. Now, let's raise some interesting questions here. God steps in when Joseph is about to put away Mary, sends an angel with a message. Now, if the virgin birth is not true, first of all, we're going to have to say that the angel is crazy. Because the angel definitely implies to Mary that the baby she's going to have is going to be produced by the Holy Spirit. Luke 1:34, Mary said to the angel, "How shall this thing be, knowing, seeing I know no man?" Verse 35 of Luke 1, the angel said, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee." Well, was the Holy Spirit going to do that or not? If the Holy Spirit did, then it's a virgin birth. And the angel's not crazy. And the angel went on, "The power of the Holy Spirit shall overshadow thee, and therefore that holy thing which you shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." Now, first of all, if the virgin birth is not true, the angel's crazy. And he sure didn't deliver the message of God. So you have a false angel. And the only angels in the Bible who are called false angels are the fallen angels, the satanic angels. And boy, that'd make the story a mess, wouldn't it? It was written by the devil. Okay, so first of all, if the virgin birth is not true, you got a crazy angel. Secondly, if the story of the virgin birth is not true, then Joseph is crazy. Or more than that, he's a liar. Either it was not his kid, as he said it wasn't, or it was. And he never claimed the child to be his. In the story in Matthew where it says so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so, you'll notice when it got down to Joseph, it never says Joseph begat Jesus because he didn't do it. Then when the angel told, remember when the child had been born and they had to flee to Egypt to save the child's life from the death sentence of Herod, that the angel came and told Joseph to take his wife and her son, not to take Mary and his son. The scriptures stay clear on this matter. Joseph never did have a right to consider Jesus to be his son. Not only that, he never claimed Christ to be his son. So either Joseph was crazy or he was a liar. And we have no reason to believe that Joseph ever said Jesus was his own child. Then if that was not the case, where did the child come from? If it wasn't his and it wasn't God-produced, then it had to be illegitimate. And there's your scandal. How and why would God choose a scandalous story like that to bring forth a holy son? There's no way he would do it. There's no way he could do it. A child born in circumstances like that, according to the Old Testament law, he couldn't even enter the temple. Ever go in the temple. Never. That would have just disqualified Christ from being a high priest right there. Now, the angel was crazy if there's no virgin birth, and Joseph's crazy if there's no virgin birth. I mean, how about Mary? How about Mary? Well, if Mary's not a virgin, she's crazy. I mean, the whole story's crazy if there's no virgin birth because she said, "I have not known a man. I have had no relationships with a man." She said, "How on earth can I have a baby? It's impossible." Luke 1:37, the angel said, "With God, nothing is impossible." That's my answer to all the scientific critics. Well, brother, why can't God work a miracle? What kind of God do we have anyway? Sure, God can work miracles. If God could create this world, surely he could produce a virgin birth son. With God, all things are possible. Even Mary said, "It can't be done." And the angel said, "Oh, yes, it can. You're not talking to a man, you're talking to God. God can do what he wants to." And this is what God wants to do, produce a child through you. And of course, if the virgin birth is not true, then you have a crazy Mary. So what a story you'd have at Christmas if the virgin birth is not right. A crazy angel, a crazy Joseph, and a crazy Mary. Now, how on earth can we call her blessed if she's an adulteress? Or how can we call her blessed if she's crazy? Now, in my opinion, in the song, Round Yon Virgin Mother and Child, the song tells a great truth. Mary was a virgin when the Holy Spirit produced within her womb a child. How? I don't know. And really, I don't think I ever will know. And to be honest with you, I don't care. The point is, it was done, and I believe it to be true. And the entire birth story will be absolutely absurd, and really, it would be crazy to celebrate a story like this if there was no virgin birth. Again, I say, instead of celebrating it, I think we ought to put it under the rug, because it would be one of the most scandalous stories you could ever begin the church with. Now, let's move off of that issue to the second one. Holy infant, so tender and mild, the song says. Now, this explains the purpose of the virgin birth. God's Son, Jesus Christ, had to be born in a special way. He would have to possess two distinct natures. You and I have one. That's a human nature. That's all we got. A human body and a fallen, sinful nature. Now, Christ had to have a divine nature and a human nature. He had to be a truly man and truly God. Jesus Christ was, through Mary, born a full human man in all the physical makeup of manhood. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus was born fully God. He is therefore God. He is therefore man. And it is through the virgin birth that this combination was made possible. Through Mary came the human side, and through the Holy Spirit, of course, the divine side was retained. Of all children born to men, all of them are born in sin. Every one of us are born with a sinful nature. We inherit that through the line of the fallen Adam. But of Jesus, we read in Luke 1:35, He was a holy thing. That's never said of any man. We are not holy. We are born of unholy parents and therefore inherit an unholy nature, and we will therefore be unholy. But Christ was a holy thing. I might add that Jesus remained holy all his earthly life in 1 Peter 2:22. He never sinned. It was through the virgin birth that Christ gained that divine side of his life, transferred from heaven to earth through the Holy Spirit into a human body. Christ was holy. And thirdly, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Why is it so important that Christ be holy? Well, Luke 1:21, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. What was Christ born for? To heal the sick? To raise the dead? What was he born for? What was the purpose of his birth? There was a special purpose of the virgin birth of Christ. There was a special purpose in Jesus being a pure and holy child. What was it? And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Another part of the song goes, Christ the Savior is born. That's in the second stanza. Christ the Savior is born. This was just not a normal birth. This was an unusual birth. It was the birth of the Savior, the one who was going to come to be qualified to take the place of lost sinners, a person who himself would never deserve to die because of sin, thereby being able to take the punishment of those who did deserve to die because of sin. Christ was born to die. His purpose in coming was that he might become our Savior and our Redeemer to save us from sin. He was born in a special way, lived a special life, that he might die for a special purpose. And that was to save us, to redeem us from the consequences of the fall of Adam, that he might be able to give unto us the one thing we need more than anything else. Number one, forgiveness of our sins, and number two, a total new life within. whereby we could become the children of God. We could be born ourselves of a special birth produced by the same Holy Spirit that produced His. He was born in a special way that He might be able to die, to redeem us, and then allow us to be born in a special way, bringing unto us a unique life, bringing the divine life into us. I'm not saying I will be God, but I will have the holy nature of God placed within my spirit. I believe, first of all, Silent Night, Holy Night is a song that speaks the Christian message in truth. Christ was virgin born, He was holy, and He was born to be the Redeemer of sinful man.